This message is provided by Bridgeway Community Church. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you so much. It's so good to be back today. I say good to be back because I've been coming almost every year to Bridgeway. I am one of the global partners, and I'm so thrilled to say that although I've been doing missions in Indonesia since 2003, you have been my partner since about 2005. So of the 23 years I've been doing missions, Bridgeway has partnered with me for 21 of those years. That's incredible. Can you give yourselves a hand? That's amazing. Okay, one of our longest ever partners. You've stood with us for so many years, and I appreciate it so much. So you may have seen this last week as a little bit of a heads up. Actually, there's so much that we can do. I could never fit it on one slide, one video, or in one preach. Okay, there's so many things that we do, but three of the major things that we do within Indonesia is, of course, we have a Bible school, so we're actually really focused on raising up the locals. So we are not the missionaries there to save the nation. We are there to raise up the local people, to train them, equip them, and send them out. This past year, we have about 100 students who are in our school, plus our branch school in another location. We also are so blessed, and it's really incredible that I can say this, that we are on national television. I have a television program 9 times a week across the nation, and that's just insane for me to say every time I say it, but I'm so thankful. We have like thousands of people contacting us who are seeing the program and lives being changed, so many testimonies. And of course, we have missions and evangelism and discipleship and a whole program from our graduates on the Bible school. We have over 20 missionaries that work with us on a weekly basis, going into some areas where they didn't know Jesus before, and so many things are happening. Besides that, we have so many like social, educational, practical help ministries. We've done disaster relief. We're just there to do whatever we can do. We also have pastors' conferences and so many different things that are happening. But I'm just really thankful. If you think about these three areas, when you pray for us and when you think about us and what can happen. In a few minutes, I'm just going to show you a video that kind of shows how those all work together with one testimony. But beforehand, I just want to throw up this slide of how you can stay connected. And I know that this church is really great. They always have a board, and they're always keeping you updated. But if you want to know even more on a weekly, on a monthly basis, if you scan that QR code, it will take you to my website. A little window will pop up. You can fill in your email, and then you get an email just once a month. I promise I'm not spamming your inbox constantly, okay? It's just once a month newsletter that kind of gives you the highlights of what's been going on. And then, you know, you can know how to pray and how to give and how to connect with us. Of course, I also have Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. I apologize because half of the stuff on my Facebook and Instagram and YouTube is in Indonesian. Okay, so pasti semua tidak akan paham apa-apanya. Okay, so you wouldn't understand anything that I'm saying on that, but half of it will be in English. Okay, so if you keep an eye out for that, but it would just be a great so that you know, like, In half an hour, once a year, I cannot tell you everything that's happening. And that's a good thing, because there's so many amazing things taking place. But what I will show you right now is just this 2-minute video of one of the many testimonies in the last few months that we've experienced. So we can see that video now.
Today I wanted to share just a short and fun little testimony that happened in the last few months. It started with our television show, ended up working together with our missions program, and in the end involved all of our students from our Bible school, which is our three major areas of ministry in Indonesia. This all started like 8 years ago. We had one of our viewers of our television show was a young man studying in Bible school at the time. And when he watched my show every Sunday, one day he went home and he prayed and he said, "One day when I'm a pastor, I want to invite this Susan to come and preach in my church." He didn't know what city we were based in, and years later, he was sent nearby to our city in a village outside, opened a church in a Muslim area, and was serving. And then one day, he met one of our school graduates, found out we were in the area, and invited me to go speak in his church, which I did, answering the prayer he prayed 8 years ago. But it didn't end there. We decided his village would be a perfect place to do an outreach together. And so we sent our missions program in. We decided to do a wonderful outreach there, inviting all of the people of the community, especially those who had not heard about Jesus, to come. And they did. It was an amazing time gathering together in the community center. We saw so many people come and hear about Jesus, receive salvation. Miracles took place. So had the blind eyes were open, people were set free. There was so many testimonies over those evenings. And how did we do it all? By gathering together all of our students. We brought all of our students with the ones to pray and minister for the sick, work in that area. And now that pastor and his church are going to be working together with our students every single week doing the follow-up. They've already begun and seeing so many lives changed. I just want to take a moment and say thank you to each and every one of you who takes part in what we do. You are part in all of this, whether it's the television program, the missions program, or our Bible school and standing out and equipping students like this. Thank you so much. This is one testimony of how God can do so much more than we even ask for. Thank you, and God bless you all.
All right, why don't you give Jesus a hand for that? Well, I'm here in North America visiting and speaking. The work is continuing on. So that's what I love. When you're actually partnering with me, it's not just me one person. When you're partnering with me, we now have like hundreds of graduates who are out doing the work. So while I'm here, my students and my graduate are doing all the follow-up and discipleship in that village, working with that pastor and in so many other places. Now today, I could go on and give you reports after reports and testimony after testimony, but I also kind of want to preach, okay? I want to give you a word, because even if I spoke for half an hour just on reports, it still wouldn't be enough. So I also want to share something, and today, I'm going to do something a little different than what I would normally, and I just want to share something from my own personal Bible study and devotional time, okay? Something that just came up the last few weeks, and it was kind of like a wow, like a beautiful moment for me, so I just wanted to share that with you today and hope it will encourage you as well. So I'm going to share something a little different today. My title is The Beauty of God's Plans. And it kind of really ties in with that video. Like someone prayed a prayer so many years ago. I went in and preached in his church. It was just the right moment to reach his community and see people hear about Jesus for the first time. And now they're getting to know him and being discipled. It's just the beauty of God's plans that is so much more than we think about, than we pray for. Isn't that what his word says? You know, he can do so much more, like exceedingly more. And so I was going through my daily reading. And I'm going to speak to you today from 2 Chronicles. Now, I don't know, it's probably not your favorite book of the Bible, okay? I don't know when was the last time somebody preached from 2 Chronicles, but it was a really beautiful thing that I picked up. I was just going through my daily Bible reading. I'm reading through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and I was reading through in 2 Chronicles, and there was this verse that came up. I don't know if you can read that, but I'll read it out for you. And it says that Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah, where the Lord had appeared to his father David. It was on the threshing floor of Arunah. Now, normally when you read a description like this, if you're like me, my brain doesn't handle places and timing and names so well, and you kind of like glance over it and like, yeah, Solomon built the temple, I got it. But as I was reading the other day, a few things struck out to me in this verse. And the first thing is, it says that Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord on Mount Moriah. And I'm like, I know that name Moriah, and if you know, it's actually from Genesis. If you know the story about, I'm going to also pop up the verse here, when God spoke to Abraham, when Abraham already had Isaac, and God spoke to Abraham and said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Now, if you know the story, Abraham did not actually take Isaac's life. God stopped him and prepared a sacrifice, prepared a ram in the bushes. Okay, so this verse is not condoning like adults to sacrifice your children. Okay, this is not what it's talking about. If you know the story, it was a picture of God's provision. And it was also just to show Abraham as a father how much it would hurt him to lose his son, his only son. Of course, it was a picture of what God the Father would never ask us to do, but he himself would do for us. So there's so much going on, but where did it take place? It took place in Moriah. Now, Moriah is not just one hill, it's actually a set of hills, a region, like it says here, outside of Jerusalem. Now, God was picturing something that's going to take place. Abraham went up to this mountain, not where he was. He went specifically to the area of Moriah to bring Isaac there. There he was provided a ram. There he got this whole idea of sacrifice, and God showed a picture of something powerful he would do later on. But it didn't stop there, because it said that Solomon built the temple, not just on Moriah, where Abraham went, but also where the Lord appeared to his father David. Now, this story, I think, is a little bit, people are not so used to, on the threshing floor of Arunah. Now, because I've been reading through the Bible, I'd already gone through that story. And there's a story where David made like a horrible mistake. And then God gave him an option and said, okay, what do you choose? You get to choose your lands in famine for years. You get to choose that you fall into your hands of your enemy and you're chased down and at war for months, or you get to choose a plague comes upon you for 3 days. And David said this amazing statement. The verse will be here as well. And he said, let us fall into the hands of the Lord, for his mercy is great. And what happened was a plague came upon them. And at that moment when the plague was coming upon them, David opened his eyes, and then he saw an angel standing over Jerusalem and put his hand out. And God said, stop. The plague stops. Enough. For his mercy is great. He didn't give them all the judgment and all the punishment they deserved. In this story, the angel stopped. And do you know what's incredible? The angel stopped on the threshing floor of Arunah. And David went and built an altar there. And since then, that became the place that he started praying to God and sacrificing and worshiping God there. So Solomon decides to build a temple in the same hills on the region of Moriah, where Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, where David met with the angel, where the judgment of God was stopped upon Jerusalem, and he didn't destroy them. And then Solomon goes and builds this magnificent, amazing temple where they want to have the presence of God come. And it said they sacrificed so many animals on that day that it actually could not even be counted. It was that many. And maybe you think, well, that's all there is to it. Look at the beauty of God's plans. What started with Abraham and went through David now ends with Solomon building the temple of God. But actually, no, because if you think about it, the temple that Solomon built, as beautiful as it was not a permanent place. You know, the temple, as beautiful as it was, amazing as it was, that the glory of God filled the temple, it was not permanent. It was destroyed years later. They tried to rebuild it, but it never was the same. And it was also this temporary place where you and I, people like us, could not actually go into the presence of God. The presence of God was in one special little Holy of Holies room where only the high priest could go in. And even then they were scared, and they constantly were bringing sacrifices and trying so hard, but could never really be in the presence of God. So although these pictures can show you the provision of God, they can show you the mercy of God, they can show you the presence of God, that's not all that happened on Mount Moriah. If you go to the next slide, there's Abraham, there's David, there's Solomon, there's all these significant things, but they were lacking something. They were lacking something permanent. They were lacking something better. And so can you imagine that it was on those hills, the hills outside of Jerusalem, in the region of Moriah, where Jesus was crucified, where the ultimate and perfect sacrifice was made, where we can now experience what we've been singing about all morning, that he has everything we need. God provides. Where we will forever be not under judgment, but under God's mercy, because Jesus took it all. And where God's presence now, I'm so glad you came to church this morning. I'm so glad you're here. But I'm also so thankful that we don't just experience God's presence here. And we are not separated by something. But because of the cross of Jesus, we can have God's presence and his spirit in our lives every single day. And what's powerful to me in this is that it all took place in the same area, in the same place. And it's mind-blowing is that from Abraham to David and Solomon is about 1,000 years. And from David and Solomon to Jesus is 1,000 years. And these details of the Bible kind of blow my mind. And if I went through all the other details and the pictures of the sacrifice and of the things and how it all leads us to Jesus, I could be here until a few more days preaching, which you don't want, okay? But there's so much more and so much more and so much more. And what I want you to grasp from this and grasp from me is that there's no coincidence. Like, it's just a perfectly planned redemption. Like, the story of Jesus, the story of the Bible, is beautiful. It's God's love story to us. And just think about, he planned it, even the years and the place and the pictures and the things. He planned it all so that we could see Jesus, the perfect one, the perfect plan of salvation for each and every one of us today. And I just want to remind us today, sometimes in life we get so caught up in today. Like, what are my problems today? What is my job today? What are the things that I want today? It happens to me too. And we're so caught up in a busy life and like, what's happening today? And sometimes we lose concept or lose the big picture that we have an almighty God who has been through all ages and has planned out perfectly all things on our behalf. We live with the creator of the universe who plans things perfectly. And although he cares about the little details of your life and he's with you and he's with you on a daily basis and he's there for you, I love that we can also grasp there's a bigger picture. He has specific times and places and things in his plan. And I want to say this to you, church, today. You are all part of his plan. Amen? Okay, my husband said yes, but I don't know about the rest of you. I was like, thanks. I told him, you have to be my cheerleader. We just sit in the front row, and he's doing pretty well. But are you glad you're part of something bigger? Like, yes, he cares about you and the small things in your life, but I love that we're part of something bigger. And that's why I love this verse in Romans, and it just reminds me of the gospel that we preach around the world. It says, when we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. I love that Jesus came at the right time. Jesus didn't wait for us to get our act together. Jesus didn't wait for us to be good enough. Jesus didn't wait for us to build another temple. Jesus didn't wait for us to do something. You know, where we are serving in Indonesia and Malaysia, like if you know, Indonesia is the largest Muslim population in the world. It's behind the U.S. in terms of population. Okay, we're talking about 270 million people. And you know what we see over there is people who are in a religion, born into a religion, and serving in a religion, and never feel close to God, have no assurance of salvation. And they are just told to pray 5 times a day. They are told to fast 1 month a year. They are just doing all these things and literally still bringing animals as sacrifice once a year. Like, still literally going through the steps and always trying to make themselves good enough to be accepted by God. I'm so thankful that's not our gospel. That's not what we believe. Amen? And that's why what we bring is such good news. We bring the good news that when we were utterly helpless, when you are at your lowest point, when you feel like you have nothing to give God, when we were not good enough and we didn't deserve it, is when Jesus came to die for us, is when Jesus came to be our Savior. And so I want to remind you that you have that. I know on this side of the world, sometimes people are not caught up in religion. It's the opposite here, right? It's like the rejection of religion and the rejection of God. But the sad thing about that is when you reject it, you don't want to know anything about God. Life has no purpose and no meaning. There is no reason to even be here and do anything. And so I love that we have a message that covers all. We have a message that says your religion cannot save you. You can never be good enough. That's why Jesus came. But we also have a message that say there is a God. He loves you. Your life has meaning and purpose. If you agree with that, will you say amen?
Amen.
And so I want to tell you a bit of a story today. This is one of the zillion testimonies that I could share, but it's a fresh one. So I always like to bring something fresh because, I mean, I'm here every year, right? I'm not going to give you an old one. But this is started from 2 years ago. So this is the first picture, is me and this man, his name is Dharma, in September 2024. So 2 years ago. We did an outreach in this region, not region of Moriah, okay, but it's called region of Sukarende, this area in Indonesia. And we went into this area of Sukarende, and it was like the perfect time of God. It was an amazing event. We had so many people came to hear about Jesus for the first time. Their lives were touched, and we immediately started doing follow-up, as we always do. Our students went into their homes one by one to share about Jesus. We had many who were baptized, many whose lives have been turned around in like incredible transformations when they got to meet Jesus. And one of the many who came is this Mendarma. And he was not only sick in his body, he was sick in his mind, he was at the lowest point of his life. He was like that utterly helpless we just read about in Romans. He was like utterly helpless. He was estranged from his family. They had all abandoned him because of his own mistakes that he'd made. He had lost his job. He was in deep depression. He was living in the slums. If you see him here, he was skin and bones. He was not in a good place in any way in his life. But he came to our event, and he was touched by Jesus. And so our students went and followed up with him, shared Jesus more with him. And he says that literally it was the darkest point of my life that brought light into my home. And a few weeks later, I opened the Bible school, as I always do every October, for new students and a new batch to come in. And I was sitting in my office, and I saw this man coming in the doors. And I literally thought when I saw him, oh, a homeless man just showed up at our school registration. And I was thinking, like, we're busy right now, but how do we get him food? How do we get him some practical help? You know, I was about to call my staff over and be like, can one of you take some time to help this, like, homeless man and get him set up with something? And instead he came and said, no, I'm not here for help. I want to join your Bible school. And I looked at him and I was kind of like, you don't really look one of my Bible school students. But you know, I always feel this every time, and I probably say this so many times, I can see the wrong thing and I can think the wrong thing. But God has beautiful plans. And he always opens my heart to just give them grace and give them a chance. And this man would come to school. He would beat me to school. Like, we opened classes at 9 a.m. We opened the office at 8 a.m. And he would be there like 7 a.m. Okay, so hungry and desperate to learn, like every single day. I kept reminding him, like, school's not open yet. You know what I mean? Like, every day I'd be like, you don't have to come here so fast. But he was so excited. And within 6 months, I don't know if you can see the difference, he was a changed person. 6 months of studying and learning about Jesus every day. He was so transformed. This is him achieving one of the awards in school. So well and so transformed, and it didn't stop there. In this past June, we just had our graduation, and he graduated, and his estranged family was back, reunited with him, celebrating with him on graduation day. And do you know what he's been doing since graduation? He went back to the region of Sukarende, went into an even deeper part of the villages and the areas that has no church and has no Christians and no one sharing the gospel, reached out to the Muslim families there, and they now have 40 people in a home church, and this is many of them getting baptized. God has beautiful plans. Like, I know this doesn't quite make it to the region of Moriah, but it's like the region of Sukarende. I can see it again, how we happen to go there and meet this one man, and now that one man is going back into the region to reach even more. It's like, it's the beauty of God's plans, more than we can ask, more than we can think. He's doing it. And so I want to close today with this verse in Ephesians. If I could have the worship team. He says, therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, making the most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity. And so I just want to remind you today that we live for more. I know you're dealing with the stresses of life. I know that you have issues you're facing. I know that life is busy. Like, I feel like, how has it been a year since I was here last time? Like, life flies. And we're all being like just bombarded with a zillion thoughts and things every day. But I hope I can encourage you today and remind you that we have a great God who's above it all. And he sees you and he sees your life and he sees times and places. And when I went back and was like, all that took place on the hills of Moriah, I'm like, it was leading up to the most beautiful plan of redemption in Jesus coming. And I can see it taking place now in the region of Sukorene, and I can see it taking place through all these people's lives in all these areas. And to realize that we're living for something more. And that's why it's like, take courage. Like, look at your life in a bigger picture. Look at your life and see that your life has meaning and your life has purpose. And yes, you may not go to Indonesia like me and be there for 20 years, but your life is still meaningful here and now. In your area and where you are and in what you're doing. He's not the God of coincidences. He's not the God who forgets things. He knows exactly in His timing and in His place and in His purpose how to do the most beautiful things. So is there beauty in God's plans? If you look through history and thousands of years and on the region of Moriah, is it crazy? His pictures of Jesus and how He fulfilled it all. But I believe that He's also doing something like that in each and every one of our lives. And I stand here today like in awe that I'm like, I was this really young girl in this small town from Canada. My sister's even here. She can testify to that. Never could have imagined, like, how can I be where I am today? It is really because He planned it, and it's by His grace. And I just get to follow along and experience and see all that He can do. And I want to encourage you as well. Can I just ask you to stand? I want to pray over you today. That verse in Ephesians said, like, take courage. Find purpose. Don't just be caught up in what the world is telling you. I know there's so many things in our world. We're being bombarded with, like, so many political issues and news of wars and inflation and like, and then there's your daily life. There's so many things happening. But we can lift our eyes higher. We can see something greater. And the same God who showed provision through Abraham on Mount Moriah, the same God who showed mercy and grace in the area of Moriah to David, and the same God who showed His presence and His glory and His power to them through the Temple of Solomon on Mount Moriah is even more the same God who came through Jesus Christ and gave His life and gave up everything so that we could be saved and know Him and experience Him and have all of that forever. And He's in the details of your life. He's in the big picture of your life. So let me just pray for you now. Jesus, I thank You for who You are. I thank You that today we don't have to try to find You on a mountain with sacrifices or in a temple place, because You had a greater plan that through the cross of Jesus Christ, You would redeem us all. You would take every judgment and every sin and every penalty that we deserved and take it all so that we can be free. We can know Your mercy and Your grace. We can receive Your Spirit and Your presence into our lives, and we can walk with You forever into eternity. And so I thank You, the God that has the most beautiful plans, that can just plan and time and do things so accurately and incredibly more than we ask or think. You are the same God that loves us and sees us. And I pray that You would help us today, that we don't just get caught up on the latest trend and the problem and the things that we face, but would You lift our eyes to see the global things that You're doing, to see the amazing things that You're doing that we get to be a part of. Lift our eyes to see Your eternal plans and purposes. And I thank You, Jesus, that what You're doing in Indonesia, Malaysia, and on the other side of the earth, You can also do here in Michigan. And so I ask for Your help today. Lift our eyes. Help us to see something more. Live our lives with purpose. Live our lives with meaning. And it's all because of who You are, how much You love us, and Your grace and mercy on our life. All glory to You, Jesus. And in Your awesome and wonderful and beautiful name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast today. Check out our app or website at bridgewaycommunity.org for more messages or to take the sermon one step deeper by downloading the sermon discussion guide.